Hello, everyone. Now we can wait a minute to give the chance to join the meetings for the others. I see we have a new member today, Jason Moore. Hi, Jason.
Hi, glad to be here.
I'm not sure if someone knows you. I know where you are, but can you introduce yourself for the others?
Jason Moore. I'm Electronic Resources Librarian at Lehigh University, using eUsage, the usage module and usage reporting, trying to use usage reporting. We're an EBSCO library, so that's kind of complicated, but we're not an EBSCO hosted library portfolio. We're EBSCO for we use e holdings because we use HLM for EBSCO.
And you are interested in usage, or do you have usage in, do you use usage in productive?
We're using it in production, and we did sync our local knowledge base with GoKB in order to be able to use the usage reports plugin for the agreements app. They, of course, not everything exists in GoKB. I've been kind of working a little bit in GoKB, I've added a couple of global packages that we needed in there in order to be able to get usage reports to work. But we're using it. I'm still kind of trying to figure out exactly what kind of combination of, because again, we use HLM, that's EBSCO's holdings and linking management, as our knowledge base for linking. And it's kind of a patchwork solution right now, but trying to figure it out. But yes, the answer is yes, we're using eUsage.
It's interesting. It's a very open group, so if you have some points that you would like to discuss, you can add points every time to the agenda, and then we can talk about it.
I'm curious how this works. So you're using the EBSCO HLM, and you're still attaching GoKB packages to your agreements?
So only because that's the only way to use the eUsage reports plugin for the agreement record in order to get the agreement analysis, the visualizations, and reports that way. It doesn't work with eHoldings, so.
Yeah, the usage reports plugin for agreements is under development, but it's paused because we don't have resources in Leipzig to develop to work on new requirements on this application. But maybe there is a new development team with the next year or in this year. To work on this. And yeah, then after that, we have to look how we can integrate this new group here in the subgroup. And then we can talk about the usage application and the plugin usage reports in this group together. So because it's the same topic. And we can discuss all the points here. So, yeah. I think the other ones,
Yeah,
yeah,
we,
and
I think this might be something we should take back to the ERM group, because this affects both the local knowledge base and the EBSCO subgroup, and we probably need some mechanism to do the matching against both, to be able to actually provide that feature for HLM.
yeah, I think that I'm going to be doing a brief talk about this at WolfCon, so I think that's a really complicated question, just because eHoldings is just a live API connection to HLM, so none of that lives in Folio, so I don't know how eUsage would do the matching. So that's, I'm working with a little bit of a hybrid solution. My hope is that in the future, EBSCO will be a little bit more open with, data coming in and out of HLM. And if, in the event that it does, there would be a future where maybe we could, have some kind of, yeah, some kind of, because I know that the direction that things are moving in, even on the GoKB side, is to be able to have more of a live interaction between Folio and GoKB. So my hope is that, there will be some kind of middle way eventually. That's but in the meantime, I kind of wanted, just as a proof of concept, to be able to use Folio for those ERM functions. So again, like, I'm just kind of working with a little bit of a hybrid solution at the moment. And I also think that, GoKB seems to be a really great source of metadata. So, just for other purposes. So I kind of want to contribute for that reason.
Yeah, there's no EBSCO equivalent for that functionality for the eUsage repo plugin. Even not in some EBSCO plateau or whatever solution.
They have they call it consolidated usage reporting, which
Yeah,
we don't. Yeah.
but you can, this is just the collection of the data. You cannot do the match that with the agreements at Folio. So this
Yeah.
probably will not work.
Yeah, but that's right. We should bring this up in the meetings from the ERM SIG and talk about this with the broader group. And there's also the PO for eHoldings, and then we can find a way to consolidate our discussions in another meeting. And yeah, if you are new, you can add the word usage to the table from the ERM SIG to the column focus of work. So we know who is a member of this subgroup, and so it's better for the communication in this team to find the right persons. And yeah, and I think it's we have vacation time in Germany, and usually we have more members here in this group, but today we are a very small group. And yeah, our agenda is not too large today, but we have some points where we have so much to discuss. And so I will go through to the next points very fast so that we can talk more about the main topic for today, the improving of the process of the COP error codes. So yeah, okay, the first point is I added some new wiki pages here, and as you can see, we have a page for the product description of eUsage, where you can find more information about usage. The reason why we need usage, and where you can find the documentation about usage. Then you have some screenshots here. And if you scroll down, you can find an overview about the components of usage. And you can see we have two product components. One is e-usage and the other one is e-usage reports. And e-usage is the main component, and e-usage reports is the plugin for agreements. And in the last column of this table, you can find all GitHub repositories to these components. Yeah, and then some contact informations. Then I edited the start page from the subgroup, and here you can find the most important informations, the communication channels, and the link to our meeting, and some helpful links. So it's very interesting for Bernd. Is there a new name for the sushi API? It's now called Counter API?
Yes. 5.101 has superseded 5.1. So the currently valid standard is 5.101. And the decision was to change the name, as explained, I think, in the change log or in the issue on the Counter website. The API used from Counter Release 5 on is essentially based on what's called Sushi Lite. That was a draft from NISO, but this has never become a standard. So Sushi is still the old SOAP XML standard. And Counter had some discussions with NISO. Either we would have had to work with NISO on adapting the standard, making that essentially what Counter does today, or stop using the name Sushi, because it refers to a standard that we're no longer using. So, and the decision was to stop using the name Sushi and instead of calling it Counter API. And there's no requirement for anybody else to switch to the new name, but of course it would be good in the long term to switch to the new name. That's not really pressing, or there's no point where you have to do that. But it would be good to switch to the new name. So I'm actually currently renaming the classes in my validation module from Sushi to Counter API to get rid of that name. So in the long term, we should get rid of Sushi and use Counter API instead.
Okay. It's a separate standard now, or it's a...
No. Counter sets the standard for what has to be used with Counter, but that's no longer what's in the Sushi standard by NISO. So
okay.
It's essentially, as I mentioned, like the Sushi that's based on Sushi Lite, but that never became that was intended to be the successor for the Sushi standard, but it never became a standard. There's only a draft for that. So Sushi, as I mentioned, is still the old SOAP XML version, and the new REST counter, the new REST and JSON version does not match the standard that's called Sushi. But it's, of course, it's the standard for Counter now.
Yeah, yes. Does it make sense to rename the yeah the counter options in the UI if you configured the harvester.
For the currently released, definitely yes. And you of course also could do that for R5, so you don't have to keep the old name for the old standard, because the old standard is no longer valid as a standard. The standard is now 5.101, and so you could use that name for the old version. For release 4, it's different, because that's essentially the sushi standard that's used for release 4. But you, I think, no, that's only for the aggregator integration, where you essentially used Sushi Lite. So for the old sushi, the old release 4 harvesting, that would be still sushi.
Okay, then I can write a new ticket in Jira for all developers to rename up to 5. But yeah, and for the version 4, you still have Counter Sushi API. So, but in the future, we don't need the service type anymore because we would like to integrate the new feature for the aggregator, and then it's obsolete.
Yeah, if you rename those UI options, I think you could rename it consistently to counter API, because it should be clear what that means. If you have the counter API for release 4, it's obviously different from the one for release 5, so it shouldn't be an issue.
Are there any questions in this group about this point? Okay, then we can go to the next one. I think we should skip at this point today and talk about this when Martina is back from vacation, because she added this requirement to the implementers page from the ERMSIG. And it's more the requirement that you can store your reports not only in the database from Folio. It's more an approach to store the data in a separate storage. It's called S3 object cloud storage. And yeah, generally you use the AWS from Amazon, but I talked with Martina about this in a Slack chat, and I think it's more important to support all S3 object cloud storage supported storage solutions, and so and. I also talked with, have spoken with our backend developer, and he said that it could work for the non-counter reports, but for the counter reports, there is a lot of work to do. And I think we can talk about this requirement when Martina is back, but the development could start in the next year when we have the requirement.
Yeah,
Yes, man.
I don't think this makes much sense for the counter reports that you need for processing in Folio all the time for matching and for other purposes. So that would be probably very inefficient if you have to fetch that data from S3 storage.
Yes.
So I agree, it would make sense for non-counter reports, but I don't think it's really useful for the counter reports.
Yeah, we have to look at this when we start with the usage plugin report development. I saw in the database that there is a separate database for the data which the plugin uses, and maybe it is possible to store the data from counter reports in the S3 storage, but because the data for the processing from eUSAGE report is a separate database table.
Yeah,
So
but you have to do the matching first, and then you can analyze and get the data into the reports database.
yeah,
So I
and
think those are two different separate steps, and you would still need the reports for processing for the first step.
yeah, and
And
when I send it, understand
yeah.
it right, then if a counter report was or is received from eUSAGE, then there is a trigger that starts an process from eUSAGE reports to transform the data into a relational schema in a separate database table. And these database table is used to matching the data from the local knowledge base. So, and that's the reason why I say that we have to look when we start to look at this when we start with the development with the eUSAGE reports plugin. Maybe we can add some processes at this point, and then it could be possible to store the counter reports in S3 storage.
Yeah, I'm wondering, is there a concern about the amount of data that the usage generates? Because this could, especially when you load item reports, this could be a huge amount of data.
Yeah, that's right. So I created some SQL queries to get data from a eUSAGE report, and if you run an query for item reports, you can wait 5 hours and more. So yeah, it's very large. So yeah, so if it's okay, then I skip this point for today and we wait when Martina is back. So if you have new requirements, that's a good point. You can add your requirements on this page from ERM implementers, and oh, it has to load. So, and here you can add in the first table your new requirements for usage. You can see there are some requirements yet. So, but there are, it's from dashboard. Okay, I was confused. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 requirements from the community that are open. And if we start to discuss the requirement, then I move this requirement to the next table here. And as you can see, we have this requirement for the counter API exceptions in this table because we are discuss this at the moment. So if you have questions about this process, you can ask Martina. and Owen. They created this page and can help you if you have questions. There's also a voting process for the community. In the ERM SIG, you have the possibility to vote some tickets in Jira that helps the development teams to see what's really important for the community. And as the development teams, we look at these tables and can see what we can add in the next sprints for the development. But we cannot really promise that every feature that you want is could really developed in the future. So it's more a question of the resources.
This is somewhat related to the community's priority dashboard.
Yes.
So the top tickets from that probably would move to that dashboard. With the condition that, if I remember correctly, there's one ticket for each subgroup and the other ones are for the main group.
We have to look how good it works for the community. And maybe we can split the ERM section into the different subgroups. But at the moment, we have only one point for ERM. So, I talked with the other POs, and at the moment, we only need one for ERM. So, but I have added one ticket here. That's our ticket for the API exception error codes. And so you can vote for the ticket, and then we can add this ticket to the prioritization dashboard in the ERM SIG.
So that's the epic for all the other ones.
Yes. That's the summary of the tickets from the error codes. I created a ticket for each error code. So, but it's better for the organization. So we can add every error code to our Scrum board in the development, and you can see which error code is under development and which ones are on hold. So it's better for you, the community, and better for the developers. So, So our main topic is to improve the handling of the counter API exception codes. If you use usage, then there occurs some error codes with the harvester for some different reasons. So, and it It's very helpful that Bernd created this table here on this wiki page, where we describe the issues. And we have. Thank you very much for the creation. And now we have an overview of all exception codes that exists and what it means. And now we can talk about how usage should handle these exception codes. So, Bernd, would you like to talk a little bit about this overview?
Yeah, I can talk about what the idea was behind creating that table. We have a lot of experience with large scale harvesting with our national statistics server platform. So we harvest about 20,000 reports each month. And some of the things I've included, like the recharge periods of 10 minutes, is actually based on what we do and what we've recommended through Counter, what clients should do, how they should handle these exceptions. And the idea actually was to find groups that we could group together. For example, everything where we say no, there's no retry, that would be one group. Should be not too difficult to implement. The other ones are the ones where we clearly have to retry. Then the question is, what should be the period that wait before we retry? And there are essentially two different ones. The ones where we could retry really quickly, these are the ones with the 10 minutes. And the other one is the 30-31 exceptions, where the provider actually says, I'm not ready to provide that report yet. And so it doesn't make sense to retry every 10 minutes or retry every day. And yeah, in my experience, you should wait several days before you retry in this case. And we actually wait much longer than 3 days usually. But if you depends on when you start harvesting. If you start that early in the month, you should probably wait longer because there are some publishers that only provide their reports after 4 weeks or about 4 weeks. That's what Counter requires, some even later in some cases. And the tricky ones are the ones where actually a fix should be required. So I'm not sure how this is handled today. This is why I have added some question marks to those. If you scroll down, down a bit. No, sorry, you already were, yeah, those ones, 2000 to 2020. Because something's obviously wrong with the credentials. Or there's a more serious problem on the server side, and something needs to be fixed. So you could say, well, if somebody changes the credentials and then stores the saves the changes, this could trigger actually a retry, or at the next time you retry, you would retry those reports affected. And so this is something we probably have to work out how this should be done. And the other issue is actually, I think currently, if you har if the usage module harvests reports, it will harvest every report, even if one of the reports already returns something like an exception 1000, service is busy or not available. So you probably get the same answer for all the reports. And these are exceptions where we actually wait with harvesting for anything for that publisher. Because you get a lot of errors that you have to handle. And I don't think that makes much sense to actually harvest those reports if you get all these errors. Same, of course, with the credentials. If the credentials are one wrong, it doesn't make much sense to continue harvesting.
Yeah.
But those are the ones I have already marked with probably no retry unless fixed. So there wouldn't be a retry happening. But
Yeah.
essentially the context for those I haven't added that would be UDP, not just report.
Yeah, that's
So we,
yeah,
for a
we
summary, we have those where we shouldn't retry. We have those where we should retry, maybe only after fixed. Those with different retry intervals. And then we all also have this context where you could say, well, in some cases, I just retry that report later. And in other cases, you would say, I would retry anything for the same usage data provider later.
Yeah, I think we can implement some new features in usage that can handle this. We have some tested some approaches like this one here. It's an issue under draft. that we integrate a little validation tool in the edit mode or in the view, in the detail view, and like a little button that you can press, and then usage can check the credentials from the usage data provider.
Yeah, but that will only cover some exceptions.
Yeah,
not all of them. You could still run, for example, into the 3031 exceptions because the reports are not yet ready. The status yes. might be okay and the credentials might work, but you still might not get any data. And there are actually two different things. You can, at least with control release 5.1, you can actually use the status endpoint to check if the URL is working, because you don't need any credentials for that. And then you would have to use another method, like maybe reports would be probably the best choice to actually check if the credentials work. And you would also get the information back about the first and last month available, which could also be helpful. But you need two different URLs for retesting if the API and if the credentials work.
Yeah, do you have two different issues at this point? One is that the users enters the wrong data. So, and then you have the other side that the servers changed the credentials. And so, so we should find a solution to help the users to enter the right data for the credentials, and then we should have a solution that we can check the credentials that are stored from or desired from the server. So in my opinion, we can create two different features for these points. And so one could be that we help the users in the UI from usage. And so one feature is the planned feature provider list, that where you can select a provider that are listed in the counter registry. It's a feature where we would like to fetch the data from the counter registry and store the data in the database from usage, and then you can click on a lookup button in the UI, and then there a window will open and you can select a provider from the list, and then you have the updated data from the counter registry. But the credentials should also be validated at this point in the UI. And so my idea is that we should integrate this little validation tool so that we are sure that data that are entered from the user are right.
Yeah, the real challenge is actually to communicate to the users when something doesn't work. We have that option in our platform, and it's rarely used to actually check the credentials, in my experience, because many of them don't work. And and it's also hard to understand sometimes what the response is and what's wrong, actually. So that's a challenge. Regarding the exceptions, I think one of the most interesting ones is the 3030 exception, no usage available. This is currently handled as an error, but it's actually not really an error, because this happens, of course, that you have providers where you don't have any usage. So currently, this is an error that is retried, and then it actually after five retries, I think is the default. It keeps being an error, but actually that's usually not an error. So I'm wondering, I think there was a separate ticket for that, a Jira ticket or a in the implementers topic from one of the libraries, maybe Kassel, where they wanted a better handling of that exception. I think that should be actually
This
part of,
one.
yeah, my preference would be to have something like a, not the green button, like the one when you get usage, but something might be light green or some yellowish green or something like that you can see that's not the usual result with usage, but it's not really an error. So you could still retry it. But you could see that this is actually not an error, and you don't have to go back and actually retry in that case. If the user thinks that this was wrong, that there should be usage, they still could retry. But that's, in my experience, that's the exception that you actually have to go back and retry. That happens mostly when the provider uses the wrong exceptions. For example, when you get the 30-30 exceptions because the usage is not yet ready. But that's, of course, wrong. That should be reported to counter or to the provider.
I think it's a good idea, and maybe we can start with this exception code because it's really easy to implement for us. It's just UI requirement. And
And it's
so,
different from all others, so it makes sense to tackle that separately.
So you mean an new icon could help the users to identify these ones, and then we should later set an process in the back end that says that the counter for the harvester should not increase the counter for this exception code so that the harvester can retry.
No, I wouldn't retry because that's
Okay.
usually not an error that needs a retry.
Okay. After the first try
If
to, okay.
you get a 30-30 exception, that's usually means you didn't have any usage and there's no need to retry because you should get the same result, except in cases where the provider uses a wrong exception. That can always happen. That always requires manual intervention because you have to deal with something that isn't handled properly because it's simply done wrong by the provider.
I have a related question just for, like, well, this type of issue that isn't really an error necessarily, where you wouldn't necessarily call it a failed attempt. Even just in the case of like I ran across a provider that has one issue with how they the what they call their open access titles. Instead of OA Gold, they just say open, and I can't harvest those reports. And so I like it to be able to say, there's an issue with this report, but still harvest it. That because I've even contacted them and they're acting like there's no problem. So,
I know that issue. Some providers broke their implementation while trying to implement 5.1, and they now return the values for release also for release 5. The problem in that case is that you might have something like free to read in there, which actually should be, or also parts of the usage that's now reported as open, should be actually neither open nor free to read in release 5. It should be part of your own usage. So just ignoring that error would be a problem.
Oh, I was wondering if there's some kind of solution where we don't ignore the error, we still it still gets returned, but there could be a way to still
No.
download the report.
The
No? Oh.
problem is that Open and OA Gold are different. You are allowed to do report more usage under Open than you were allowed under OA Gold. So you cannot simply map it back and say, well, I regard that as OA Gold. That doesn't work. You could do that, for example, if you get a data type reference work in an R5 report. You could simply map that back to book. That would work, but not for the access types.
Yeah, because I saw that also with I don't remember which publisher it was, but I did see it where it was not just access types that yeah, so I guess I mean it having to be more
I've actually reported most of those cases to the both to the either to the publisher or to the service provider if they are on a platform which has a service provider like Atripon or ScholarlyIQ. And I always report that with a copy and counter executive director because I'm a part member of the code team and the executive committee, and I implemented the validation module for the counter validator. So that's why I always keep them in the loop. Some have fixed those issues, some still don't have. And unfortunately, there are some, as you mentioned, they say, well, there's no problem. Actually, there is, because that's not a counter five release five compliant report if it has open in it. And they could simply run, what you could do is actually run that report on the new counter validator and share the link with the publisher so
I
that they.
did. I did. I downloaded a validation report and sent it to them.
Yeah, actually, with the new one, you can share that link and create a link. You can send them, and then they can actually see the errors and also. No, they can't rerun the validation, but they can see the errors in the validation tool. You don't have to send them a report.
Well, I used your tool and I downloaded the so I used the validator tool from the counter website and then I downloaded the output from that and sent it to them. But yeah, that was really helpful to have that because it did show the exact error, you know.
And we run since I've implemented that module, we run every report that we house, as I mentioned, about 20,000 per month through the validation. And unfortunately, there's a high percentage that fails. And that's even I would say that's not a that serious error if it has open instead of OA Gold. The more serious ones are where actually, the counts and the reports are inconsistent. Metric types are missing, or you have more requests than investigations, which cannot be true. Things like that happens quite often, unfortunately. So the e-usage reports would still harvest those reports. They wouldn't harvest them when they have invalid access types or metric types in them. But if, for example, a metric type is missing, this would still be accepted to report because it's formally, if you look at the JSON schema, it's formally correct, but it still fails the validation if you run the validation.
Oh,
And
great.
actually, I should mention handling errors and dealing with that is one of the topics that was raised several times, both in the last counter conference and also in the new advisory group, because there are many libraries struggling with errors and reports. And so this is something that will be discussed in the advisory group. So if somebody is a member of Counter, if your institution is a member of Counter, you could actually be a member of the advisory group and take part in those discussions.
Bernd, is it okay if you give us some updates in this group about Counter, if you have some of this?
As long as this is public information, yes.
Okay.
You would ask me what's coming with 5.2 in 2030, 31, or at least not before that date, I wouldn't answer that question.
Okay, that sounds good because it's better to hear this in this group as a point, maybe news and some.
If it fits in and it's helpful for the easy usage, of course I can do
So I opened the usage app on Snapshot, and so we see the different icons that we have. One icon is not here. It's the new icon that we implemented with Trillium for edited reports. It's a little icon with a pencil so that you can see which report is edited manually. So, and we talked about the requirement for 3030 and you said when we should create a new icon, which color do you want? We can yellow, we use yellow, we can use another one.
Yellow makes sense to me.
Well, yeah, on our platform we use yellow for things that are still in we're still working on. I would prefer a lighter green. Maybe not really yellow. It could be something yellowish green, but not really yellow because it's green. It worked.
Oh yeah, that
You
makes sense.
get the report that you I hope you get the report you expected, but just without usage in that month. So it should be more on the green side.
Okay. I cannot see the color. I
You're
have
a green
red
guy?
green. Yes.
Okay, that's an accessibility issue. So
Yes. Yes, of course.
also need a different symbol in the middle to distinguish those.
That could make
Okay.
sense. So, yeah. A light green. Yes, lighter
Maybe with
green.
just a zero in it, like the zero that has the little dash through it.
Yes, and if the community also called this error code zero reports, so it makes sense. So, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, at the moment, for example, if you try to harvest release 5 reports and the publisher already has transitioned to 5.1, it's no longer providing release 5 reports, you might get a 3030 exception back, which is wrong. This should be 3031, but it can happen. So if you have the, you would have a similar image like the one you had just in Snapshot. But from March or April on, you would have no usage. And in that case, actually, you should stop harvesting the release 5 reports because it doesn't make sense. The last month available is March 2025. But you would see that if you start if you get no usage from a platform, for example, like EBSCO or Springer, where you expect usage, it's obvious that something is wrong. And you could see that if you have the different symbol with a different color.
So, okay, then I update the ticket for this one. And so I think maybe we can implement this for Trillium. The feature freeze for Trillium is in September for developers, and the release date is, I think, November. And so we have the first solution on this one. And for the other ones, we have to wait for our backend developers, but we can talk about in this group in the next meetings. And it makes sense to start the.
Just back to the implementation, do you have credentials for testing that would actually return no usage?
Yeah, I think so. We
Okay.
have, yeah, we have a department for e media, and so I can ask them to test it.
I assume you don't have a mock sushi server or counter API server for testing.
Oh, yes, we have, but
Okay.
we can also test it with live data, and so we can do both.
Okay, great.
So, and yeah, for the next meeting, I would say we should talk about the 20 error codes.
Yeah, I was going to ask about 1020, but yeah.
So, but for today, we're on the hour.
What,
So,
10, 20, or the 20?
20s, the
The
20s
20,
ones.
I think you meant
Oh,
the
10,
20.
10, 20 is the one that
Oh, 10,
I
20.
have. Yeah. I
Okay.
have a lot of those, so not
Okay.
really sure why.
Okay, then
Well,
we should
yeah.
prefer this one.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe we could just talk about that on Slack. You can talk, contact me.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do
Would
that.
be very interested in whether this happens because we've avoided that error so far. It's maybe JSTOR, but that's unusual. That only happens if you request for the same send a request for the same report too often.
Some of them, it's like I have that. I'll have a mix of
Yeah.
an error that says that I don't have access and the 1020 error for some dates,
Yeah.
and I. And
Okay.
then I'll get to you on Slack about it.
Yeah, I think that you could contact me privately on Slack if you don't want to read that information on the open channel. So, but I'm really interested in that because this is something that shouldn't happen. You should get one or the other, but not both.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more a tip for the group if you need more a visual about these processes. We can also use diagrams here in the wiki, and so if it makes sense, then we can add some of them, and so you can understand more the processes in the backend process.
That's mermaid, I assume, for the diagrams. That's a mermaid.
It's a draw.io application
Okay,
here.
that's not what I expected.
But there are some schemas that you can use. So we can look at this draw.io. It's a web-based
Yeah,
diagram
you
program.
can actually add some diagrams to Confluence directly using Mermaid Markup. So that should work on most Confluence installations.
Yeah, we can also use this. So it I think it's better to edit because it's only text. And you can also use Mermaid in some repositories on GitHub. So yes. Okay, then we over the time, but we should look for the next meeting, and we can meet. Martina is back. I'm looking when she's back. She is back on August 10th. So,
yeah.
So we should meet
August 18th. What
yes.
From now? What makes yes. sense?
Mm-hmm. So.
So I won't be available in for the September meeting, but I will be back in for the October meeting.
So yes, Jason, do you need a calendar invitation?
That'd be good.
Yeah. Okay. Then I'll send you.
Or you know what? Actually, I can just I have it's going to be the same link, so I'll just put it up. I don't need it. I've got my calendar open right now, so I'll just put it.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
Okay. Then thank you, everyone. And then we see you in the next meeting. And you can also contact me via Slack if you have some questions. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.